Father,
Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only King.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness. Swami Ram Dass Guru's grace. My life's fruition was reached when my purity reflected spiritual radiance, when light of God made all parts of my being lustrous, when bliss and peace permeated my entire life, when my heart poured out love in unending stream flooding all the worlds. Guru's grace is in the start, middle, and end of this achievement. In Papa's article on Where is True Happiness? Man ransacks 1,001 ways for attaining true happiness and peace. He thinks by accumulation of wealth he will become happy. He aims at a status of authority and power, believing that obtaining it, he could be happy. Then again, he strives to be learned and well-versed in modern and ancient lore, expecting thereby he would reap happiness. Again, he provides himself with various objects of sense enjoyment, with a view that he would derive from them the happiness he is in search of. Thus he cuts out innumerable avenues of approach to happiness. After all, even when he has gained all these things which he desired and fulfilled all his ambitions, he finds that he is where he was, or even far lower than where he was when he started on the quest. Divinely illumined seers of old have plumbed the very depths of life and have completely mastered the secrets of it, telling us with one voice that for the pursuit of true happiness, man must take his thought and vision away from the evanescent objects of external life, and going deep beyond them into the recesses of his own soul, find there the immortal source of self-existent and everlasting peace and happiness. He who has discovered this mysterious source looks upon with wonder, not uncoupled with pity, on the world in general, which is mad after possessions, riches, authority, name, and fame. Now, what is this divine source, which by its very nature, pure peace and happiness? It is a truth which is indescribable. But then, our seers have given us some indications of existence. The truth is an invisible power that permeates through all the universe, uniting and harmonizing all things into one homogeneous whole. In the light of this great truth, the diversity seen on the surface of universal life is realized as the variegated expressions of the underlying reality. To know that we are this truth, this all-comprehensive, all-inclusive, and all-embracing reality means to experience a state of peace, bliss, and freedom, which is simply ineffable. This way alone lies the right endeavor for eternal happiness. All the sages and saints of every age and clime have striven and are striving to awaken mankind to the consciousness of the supreme happiness, which is man's real quest and goal. Now, the question is how to attain this happiness. We know without a resolute endeavor, we cannot get any great thing in life that we aspire for. What is needed in the first place when we embark upon the adventure of finding the great blissful truth is we have to conserve all our physical and mental energy and concentrate it upon the attempt at realizing this great goal. Hence, the sages declare concentration and meditation will put the aspirant on this path. By a substitution of a divine consciousness, we have to transcend human limitations and weaknesses. We have to go on devoting our thought to the contemplation of our higher and divine nature. Our fettered and obsessed self is set free. When thus our ego sense, which is darkness that has enshrouded the purity and radiance of our soul, is dispelled, we come into a knowledge of our true existence, which is one with the universal life. The great reality, who is immortal bliss and peace. Concentration and meditation lead to self-surrender or dissolution of the ego sense. Man thereafter lives, moves, and has his being in the eternal. Or, in other words, he becomes the very expression of immortal splendor and inexhaustible peace and joy. Such a life is likened to the sun that sheds his light on all alike. He will thus be a power to spread love, goodwill, and harmony in the world, which is now veering towards the precipice of chaos and confusion. So when a man goes in the right direction for the attainment of true happiness, which he hungers for, he will not only be himself blessed with it, but also bring about harmony and peace in the world. The first and foremost thing, therefore, is to realize the supreme state of eternal happiness for oneself, and this will automatically conduce towards the formation of a consciousness of peace and goodwill among mankind. Man would exclaim, "Oh, these things are too big for us," or, "The true happiness held out is a chimera, or something that exists only in the imagination of some whose minds are not in balance." Man generally believes in the object which is right before him and yields him a touch of joy. He grabs at it without caring to understand that there is a source of higher and real joy within himself, independent of external objects of his life. There are, however, some heroic souls who have conquered the temptation of outside allurements, and breaking through the walls of ignorance, have entered into the kingdom of true happiness within themselves by the realization of the supreme truth. Such are the true teachers of mankind. Such are the true saviors that liberate man from the thraldom of the senses and guide him to his rightful heritage of immortal life. Yesterday was the anniversary of the Maha Samadhi Day of Papa Ramdas. Maha means great. Samadhi means absorbed. It is the final exit of a yogi into the divine consciousness with which he is already one. It is a tremendous story. for each and every soul to start out upon the path and to reach its ultimate outcome, the universal vision, absolute oneness with the divine. Papa was such a one as these. He himself described his own life as being unremarkable before the change that occurred within him. Suddenly, there came into his life an inner power that erupted into human to the divine. It is this kind of concentration and meditation that he was referring to that is required for the aspirant in order to make real progress upon the path. We are all in a school, and all of us in various grades of that school. We are learning about concentration and meditation. Every person upon this earth is involved in some sort of concentration and meditation. Some people are concentrated upon the senses and meditating upon the allurements that come as a result of satisfying the senses. They are practicing in their own way concentration and meditation. There are those who lust after power or fame or some kind of influence upon this earth. And they want more than anything else to be risen up in stature so that others will look upon them and see them in admiration, see them as the ones to be looked up after and emulated. Everyone has a secret dream of the ego, and the ego is lusting after some aspect of creation. By very definition, it is focused upon this creation and seeing the allurements of this creation and striving to find some aspect of it that will satisfy its desire nature, and believing that through that satisfaction of the desire, it will gain real happiness, real joy, that it will be on top of the game, and that it will not have to struggle any longer. How many lifetimes have we all been involved in this vast experiment? This experimental house looking for happiness. Everybody has their own theory. Everybody has their own pet peeves, thinking that somehow in the subconscious or the conscious mind, if I attain this certain station in life, then everything will be all right. Then I will be happy. Then I will have peace. Then I will have security. Then I will have the love that I want, or whatever else may be the desire nature within. Papa, in his unremarkable life, was a devotee of God. He thought about God, but yet he wasn't inspired, really. He didn't have any real fire of aspiration until a event came along in which his father gave him the mantra, Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. He had been chanting Ram before that and actually had been getting some hold on him. He had been getting some happiness, some peace. Somehow, with the initiation into this mantra, it became like a blazing wildfire. He couldn't stop it. He didn't want to, because he felt the peace, he felt the bliss, he felt the upliftment. He looked about his life and he saw that he had really nothing in this world that would give him any real or true happiness. He did a very controversial thing. He left his wife, he left his child, he left his family, had an intense and sincere prompting to go out into a sannyasi's life. Now, this was not an easy life, and it was not an exchange of a difficult life for an easier life. But he felt he had to go into this new life. Now, there are some who might find criticism with a man who leaves his family, and Papa may join them in the criticism as well. And yet, there was nothing else that he could do. And so off he went into this tremendous adventure in which he chanted Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, adding Om to the mantra. He wandered all over India without a penny, with one spare rag for clothing, or maybe no spare at all. Whatever was asked for him, he gave it up immediately. He carried no money with him. He traveled as the whim of the infinite moved within him, even as the wind moves from here to there. He was lifted up in such a way that he didn't feel the pain of hunger. He didn't feel the pain of cold or other difficulties that came along his way. He would walk along an area that had thorns in the ground so that they penetrated into his feet. And yet he didn't even feel the pain, or if he did, he felt such bliss, such rapture, that there was no accounting for the pain at all. And he continued on in the way that he had. Invariably, he would come to the next town, and the kind people there would pull the thorns from his feet, try to heal them, try to get him to stay there long enough for his feet to heal, perhaps by transportation on a train for him to go to the next destination. And so he went from place to place without a thought for the day, without a thought for the morrow, without a thought for where his food would come by, completely reliant upon the divine within him, completely reliant upon that inner intuition that was guiding him unerringly. And all the time he was chanting the Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. And he was filled with the bliss, he was filled with the joy, he was filled with the power of the infinite, moving him from place to place, animating him, making him to speak, making him not to speak, making him to eat certain things, making him not eat at all. And so his life went on in total and perfect surrender. Through all of these experiences, his mind was completely and totally purified, so that there was nothing but God that was existing and blazing within him. Wherever he went, his smile lit up the room. People were drawn and attracted to him because he had this tremendous spiritual radiance. In India, there is such a love for saints that whenever a saint comes, all the people gather there, because they know by being in that saint's presence that they will be uplifted, that there is a spiritual radiance and grace that goes out from that one. And if the aspirant comes to the saint and is open to that, they are transformed. They feel that transformative power emanating out from the saint, from that one who is living in God consciousness. And as a result of that, their lives are changed. The very cellular patterns and structure is changed and charged with the divine vibration. And so many came to him and felt their lives changed completely by their contact with him. Now some come to the realized one, and they get some benefit, they get some upliftment, and they go away, and pretty soon they are right back where they were before, wrestling with the world and the things of the world. There are others who come and they get inspiration, they get a fire lit within them, and it burns for some time. But after some time, that fire begins to die out. And as a result, the darkness of the world begins to descend back upon them. And then there are a few, a blessed few, whose fire is lit and continues to stay lit, that the burning aspiration for divine realization grows and grows, until that is the only thing that consumes that one. They want nothing more in their life than realization. They want to be lifted up. They want to realize that infinite nature from which they have come more than anything else in the world. And so they aspire on. They go through all the ups and downs that the spiritual journey takes them through. They keep that name of God ever upon their lips. They never let go of the vision of rising up above this worldly consciousness and attaining a divine one. It is there for the reaching out. It is there for the one who is willing to surrender all that they call their own. Now, in Papa's case, he left his family. But eventually, a family formed around him in the shape of an ashram. People came to him, and people came and stayed and lived. Even his wife, from his former life, as he referred to it, came and lived at the ashram. His daughter, his grandsons, all came to live at the ashram. And so wherein was the loss? It was a tremendous gain, not just for those family who got the benefit of Papa's illumined consciousness, but also he was able to illumine the consciousness of so many others, because his sympathies not ran just to those who were kindred in blood, but all those who were kindred in spirit. He loved the world. He enjoyed the world, because the world was God for him. All the people he met, there was not one stranger for him, because everyone he met was himself, was his Ram. It is oftentimes said at the ashram that there is the thought that Papa was Hanuman, incarnate. Now, Hanuman is a delightful incarnation of the perfect devotee, because in Hanuman, the mind is perfectly fixed upon God. As a result of that, the ability to overcome all obstacles is the result. Hanuman is able to lift large mountains in the stories. He is able to do tremendous feats because his mind is totally fixed upon God. Now, these mythological characters, if you want to put it in that vein, are wonderful for the mind to contemplate on, because they represent an inner and mystical truth that if we keep our mind on the divine, the power to overcome, the power to remove mountains of difficulties, the power to defeat the enemies of ignorance and darkness will become ours. When our mind is perfectly fixed on the infinite, and in this way, Prapa is a perfect manifestation of Hanuman, because his mind did not wander to the left or to the right, but always stayed upon God. Always stayed upon God. And as a result of his life and the transformation that happened in his own consciousness, he was able to be an influence upon Mother's life in the transformation in her journey from the human to the divine. And as a result of that, all of our lives have been touched and changed and transformed. So you see, the light goes out and out and out in ever-expanding rings. And for those souls who are open, who are ready, they begin to resonate begin to vibrate with that outgoing power of light and love and joy of God. Papa's radiance continues to spread out. When you think upon his visage and see his smiling face, his radiance comes to you, his joy comes to you, his love comes to you. I once read a book about a mountain climber, and he was a climber along with Scott Fisher, who was here from West Seattle, who was killed up on one of the tallest mountains in the Himalayas, Mount Everest. And this Russian climber was quite an abrasive kind of a fellow. He admits it himself. He's writing this about his own life. And he's very impatient and intolerant, and he tends to be very short with people. But he had such tremendous respect for this individual climber who lost his life on Mount Everest that every day he dedicated himself to being a little bit more like Scott was. And that was his memorial, that was his testimony to the life of an individual. And I think that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And when we think upon these saints, when we let our minds dwell on them, meditate upon them, and then we think to emulate them in some small way in our own life, to keep our mind upon God, to be joyful, to be happy, to be of service to whoever comes before us, to see God in every person, in every situation. There are so many aspects to draw from in Papa. There are so many wonderful and uplifting virtues that he embodies. And to let your mind think upon him, to let your mind dwell upon him and become absorbed in him, to let those virtues emanate from you, is a wonderful testimony to his life. If somebody is to be kept alive after their death, so to speak, the greatest way to do it is to embody the virtues that they had while they lived. We are all the recipients because one man decided to change his life. He allowed that divine inspiration to come in. He put himself completely available beyond worldly criticism, beyond what other people thought of him. India is no different in that way than America. People criticize. Swami Satchitananda said, yes, everybody thinks it's wonderful that there are sannyasis, as long as they come from somebody else's family. They don't want it to be their own son or daughter. They don't want it to be their own husband or wife. You see, it's all right as long as it's somebody else. Because that one has totally dedicated themselves to God, and they no longer claim their family as their own in a limited way, rather that they see the whole human family as their family. It is not to cut oneself off, but rather to encompass the whole. We do not have to take formal initiation. We do not need to put on different kinds of clothes or have a different kind of a name. In order to embody the spirit that animated the Swamis, the Sannyasis, the holy men, of whom we have been influenced by and have received so much from. Each day we can create an ashram within our own home. We can have a temple there. We can dedicate it to the aspiration to realizing God within us. Each day we can be in service to him, through keeping our home beautiful, through looking for some way to serve people who come into our life in an everyday way. It can be sharing a smile. It can be giving some encouragement. It can be just simply radiating the light that is dwelling within us and letting it shine out. It does not have to be in a way that stands out to the world, but rather we can be constantly, silently giving, shining, radiating, loving, divinely giving of ourselves to all. And you see, in this way, Papa's universal love and service slogan can become our own. We can make it our own. We can vitalize our life and animate it in the way that the divine can animate Papa's life, Mother's life, Master's life. We can say to ourselves, well, that's good for another, but not for me. Well, that's too difficult. But this is spiritual dishonesty. You may not be animated in the identical way that Papa was animated, but you can go within yourself. You can find that divine connection and begin to manifest it in your life today. You can inwardly turn your mind upon that connecting point. One of the things that God showed me once was that no matter how difficult a time we go through, if we turn our mind to it, we can find that divine connection. You can always find your divine connection. It may seem like a weak signal at times. It may seem unsure somehow. But if you turn your mind there, it is there. It may be a higher thought, an inspiration. It may be a feeling, a sense, a presence within you. It may be the thought of a great saint, a realized being. Anything at all, take it. That is your light. That is your connection to light. And as you take that and follow it, it takes you into the greater light. And if you go without deviation from that light, it will draw you into further and further light. And no matter how great a darkness you may find yourself in now, you will be drawn into the greater light of God. But take your mind off of that light. Deny that light. Put your reliance completely on this world, and you lose that connection, at least in your conscious mind. And for that period of time, you are lost. And it is a terrible situation to find yourself in. But now, in this moment, turn your mind to that divine light, to that divine connection, however you find it, wherever you find it within yourself. And keep your mind dwelling there and follow it. And it will take you into God's greater light. And it will awaken in you that divine aspiration, even as Papa's life was divinely animated. And you too will have the joy, the bliss, the peace that animated Papa. Mother once asked Papa, Papa, will you be my Papa too? And Papa said, Ram Dass is Papa to all. And that means you and me, too. It is a very interesting thing that when we come upon this path, we read about many different saints. And one of the ways that I've thought about it is that initially, it is like standing outside of a house, looking in through a window at somebody's life. It looks interesting, it looks enticing maybe even, but we're still outside, looking in. We've not really been touched, we've not really been introduced to that saint. At some point, the saint somehow mysteriously becomes connected to us, and they introduce themselves to us. We have some experience with them. And suddenly we awaken to who they are in God, and we think, ah, this is it. This is it. I've been missing this. I've seen the splendor from the outside looking in, but now I'm in the room itself, and I feel the splendor. I feel the presence. I feel the power. I feel the joy and the love. If you let your mind dwell upon this great master, he will invite you in. He will play with you. He will talk with you. Now, this is not putting an individual before God, but rather you see God within the individual. And for a realized master, they become an open door by which you may approach the divine, move through them, and move into divine consciousness itself. There is a danger at times, and you see it with different devotees, where the master becomes an end in itself. This is wrong. This is not the way to enter in your full God realization. It puts a separation between you and God. Certainly you can use the master as a conduit, as a doorway in which to enter into the divine consciousness, because the mind needs some object to dwell upon in the beginning. And so that object can be a divine master. And because they are divinely attuned, they are this open doorway. If they were of ego consciousness only, then they become a closed door. But when they are divinely illumined, as in Mother, as in Papa, as in Master, then they become an open doorway. And as you approach them, the door swings open, and you enter into that infinite light and consciousness of which they have become one with. They have become the Logos, the Word, the manifestation of divine consciousness. And we are all the beneficiaries of these great illumined sages. We can bow down in total gratitude. I think before I entered into the spiritual path, I wouldn't have had any notion of bowing at somebody's feet. What a strange thing to do. But when you are introduced to these masters and you feel the great presence of the light and bliss and joy in them, it is the most spontaneous and natural thing to do in the world. And you feel yourself to be the most privileged one of all if you are able to do this. So let go of all feelings of separation. Let your mind dwell upon the One, and enter into that infinite divine consciousness of which you have always been a part. You will always be a part. It is just in our minds that there is that idea of separation. Let it go and become one with that infinite consciousness. Om Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram
Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram
Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram
Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram
Poem by Papa entitled In the Heart, See Him. Direct your vision to the sanctuary of your heart, for there is the throne of Him in whose quest you have roamed, age after age, life after life. At His feet lay all your desires. There find rest and contentment. There, taste the sweetness of immortal peace. There, lose yourself in his love and splendor, and be his beauteous expression. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
I feel the wonder and the beauty
of thy glorious presence
in every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Bless you with the power of remembrance of the divine name, so that you may rise up and know him as he truly is.